Okay, this is Brian again. I just sent an email out approximately 3 minutes ago that had a link directly to today's notes for the conference. If you didn't receive that, you can email me at administrator@marketingexperiments.com, or if you want to just point your web browser directly to www.mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log, and then hit enter and take you directly there. At this point, I'd like to get started by introducing Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be today's primary presenter. Dr. McLaughlin.
Okay. Let me just also add that as we get started, we're also posting that link inside of the lab. The reason that the lab is no longer, that same link is no longer on the list is because it's been replaced by discussions, which I wanted to announce to you today. Discussions is a new group that we've done here with specific topics such as search and copywriting that you'll be able to go to. It's part of a partnership with Marketing Vox, and we have a financial interest in their group, and so we've basically purchased that interest in order to team up with them and use their significant capabilities in discussion group management to aid our subscribers and members in having, you know, really effective discussions. The lists are already large. There's very active discussions in there right now. We're in the beta test phase. That's why we haven't announced it. We're telling you about it on the conference, but we haven't notified our list about it yet. Within a week or so, though, we will notify our list. And in the meantime, that whole operation is being managed by Andy Borland, who was the founder of ClickZ, and it should help you quite a bit. You will have to provide a one-time username and password. I'm sorry, your name and email address, simply because we did not. There's two ways to go through the discussions, and we did not want to automatically sign you up for discussions without your permission. Once you've entered that information, then you'll be fine. But in the meantime, we were just trying to keep from doing anything that would violate your privacy, because that'll be a separate list. If you'd like, you could even have a digest of the discussions mailed out to you. They're highly effective. In fact, they're the most active discussion list right now on the net, with many, many thousands of search professionals and others that are involved. So at any rate, and we're going to be working with those discussion groups to discuss things. Probably the next time we hold this conference, we'll host in the discussion group a place for you to comment, respond, and discuss it with each other after we're done. Also, we're going to use a feature in the discussion groups to let you review our research calendar and more or less vote or comment on what research topics you'd like to see us do. And so kind of be watching for that. That'll be coming up. And in the meantime, we're going to get started. To do so, I shall begin with my topic, which is ideal subscription paths. And we're going to begin with mentioning a couple of previous reports, and also you should be linking in fairly soon now to your notes. Let me remind you that when you first see your notes, they'll seem rather brief, but as I talk, the notes are updated, and you'll need to refresh your page in order to see new tables, new charts. And so let's begin with this topic now. In previous reports, we have repeatedly stressed the impact that an optimized order process can have on your bottom line, and we have two of those reports. But in this brief, we will look specifically at optimizing the subscription path for a paid content offering. Now, I want to interject here that subscription sites are one of those few centers on the internet that continued to thrive even when dot-coms went down. Here at MEC, our own subscription offering continues to grow, but we're just one of many different subscription offerings that are doing quite well. And sometimes on razor-thin margin retail sites, a subscription offering can be the key to profitability. I have a lot more to say about that, but you'll have to read between the lines right now and think, because I can't touch it just yet. I would suggest if you already have a subscription offering, then this is going to help you, I think, considerably. I would also suggest that the data that I'm sharing with you here does not reflect our greatest successes in terms of subscription experimentation, and so you will see that. Incidentally, there is a link now in the lab. If you log into the lab or if you refresh your page, We have also placed a text link that will, this text link will allow you to click right into the research log and get the notes too. It's in the left nav? No? It's right at the top of the page. We just stuck it in there where it's big and bold and ugly so you wouldn't miss it, and we'll take it down after this call. It says research log. It's an underlined link in 12-point Arial font, it looks like to me. So it might be bigger. Click on that if you haven't got your notes yet, and it'll get right into it. Also, may I point out something else? We are adding also to the lab right now. In fact, I think it's already in there. In your left nav, you will see where we have A-B split test results. Actually, if you more than that, if in your left nav, there is web conference audio index in the lab. You might miss that. It has a little new beside it, but you might find it helpful. It's something else we've added for you. And when you click on that link, which you don't need to do now, you'll see a whole list of our web conferences with all the audio recordings going back for several months, which means that there's a lot of useful information there, and it's tied to the appropriate research reports. You may want to listen to those online conferences at a later point. That's just, of course, for the members only. So having said that, let's get right into this experiment. In our initial microtest, we made a number of changes to the subscription process for our test site. We asked for less personal information on the first page, changed the button text, and streamlined the presentation of the sign-up form. We outlined 15 improvements that you can do to your process later in this report. The subscription process on our test site allows site visitors to sign up for either free memberships or paid memberships. Now, this isn't the MEC site. This is a separate test site. Free members provide their contact information and receive access to more content than anonymous visitors. Paid members receive full access to all the content on the site, including premium content only available to paid members. Now, in the first test, for a period of 7 days, we tested the old subscription process and the new one side by side. And here were our results. You should have a table in front of you that's been posted. Mind you, you'll see this in the notes for this call, but also within a week or so, you'll be receiving, actually sooner than that, these full conference notes, the actual research brief that goes along with this, along with tables and charts and so on. So bear in mind that if you can't keep up with me, you'll get something in writing, but I do think it may be good to write down the key things from this conference that will help you. So the bottom line is the hits to registration page, free memberships completed. You'll notice a big difference. There were 1,670 free memberships completed in 7 days with page A or path A, and there was 2,084 completed with path B. That's an increase, fairly significant. But you'll notice something else if you're very careful at looking at that chart. Though we had far more free membership registrations, we actually had less paid registrations. Now, this is the way testing works, and often it completely surprises you. And if you go into testing too confident, you'll catch yourself many times being completely perplexed, because the path was obviously a significant approval. But though it was an approval or an improvement, it did not make sense that it signed up many more free people but less paid, unless there was something wrong with the paid membership page. And candidly, the paid membership page we knew was far superior to the old one, just based on so much other experimentation we've done with similar and other projects. So what can you infer from these results? Well, reducing the length of the first registration page, that's path A. By the way, this is A-B split test. Does everyone on the phone know what an A-B split test is? Anyone not know what an A-B split test is?
I don't know.
Pardon?
I don't know.
Oh, thank you for being brave enough to speak up. If you may wonder when we log on to these conferences how many are on the phone. Typically, we reserve the full amount of seats available in every conference, but a lot of people are quiet, and that's okay. An A-B split test is basically where you create, let's just take it with home pages instead of subscription paths. You would create version 1 of your home page and version 2 of your home page, and you would create a piece of software that when people visited your page, visited your site, The first person that visited would see homepage A, which I said was one, but homepage A. The next person that visited would see homepage B. The next person that visited would see page A, and it would repeat alternatively presenting either page A or page B to each new visitor that came.
Right.
So it gives you the most realistic way to test a page, because sometimes if you test by simply showing page A for 3 weeks and showing page B for 3 weeks, your results are skewed by the fact that the times are different, that maybe later in the year is a different, you know, but later in the month is a different type of month for you or a different pattern, and so your results are not as accurate. A/B split test tools are pretty easy to build into your website, and they are worth their weight. They're worth their digital weight in gold, you might say. They're great for figuring out what really works and what doesn't. In this case, our subscription path reduced the length of the first registration page. All we asked for was the name, email address, and a password. This was for the free subscriptions. We improved the button text and streamlined the presentation and produced a major increase in the number of free memberships. However, our new sign-up process also produced a decrease in paid sign-ups. What can we account this why did this happen? 2 points. First of all, the increase in free sign-ups gives us more opportunities to convert these visitors to paid members in the future. The statistics above only count the paid members that signed up on the spot, most of them being impulse purchases. They do not count subscribers who would return to the site in the future to join as paid members. We have ample opportunities to convert these free subscribers to customers through the site's email, newsletter, and other permission-based tools. So, first of all, you got to look at the value. It's actually better to have more members, typically for two reasons, because you have more opportunities to market to those free members, and secondly, when you go to sell your company, the larger your audience base, the greater the value of your company. So there's a plus there, but it still doesn't explain why it happened. And I want to address that by saying this. 2 points. One, whenever you improve a process and make it easier, you typically will put more people in the system, but you will find your overall conversion rate going down to the next step, simply because when you lower the resistance in the first step, then the people who come in the second step are less qualified. An example would be if you had an ad in Google that said, boat for sale, $4,975, you would get a much more qualified audience if you had an ad in Google that said, boat for sale, great deals. You might get more clicks, especially if you had something, win a free boat. You'd get lots of clicks from win a free boat, but your conversion would go down because you'd have much less qualified traffic. Now, in Google, it pays to be very specific so that you don't pay by the click. But when it comes, you know, too many clicks that aren't converting. But when it comes to subscription paths, you want to get as many free members in your net as possible. You're not paying by the click for those. And it costs you very little more to service that group because of the inexpense of how you manage them if you're not providing customer service directly, which you generally don't to a free group. So you want that group as large as possible. So when you make it easy on the first step, you typically will see a conversion drop on the second step. There's nothing wrong with it. That's normal. But the second thing, and this is something I want to teach you about test design in this call. The second thing that I've seen over and over again with people who are new to conducting careful micro-tests, and that is a 7-day test is simply not long enough unless you have a great deal of data. This site's traffic levels, a 7-day test was not enough data to measure the real impact of the changes on paid memberships. You've got to make sure that you have a statistically significant set of numbers in order to draw your inferences from. So, if I'm losing you in all the numbers, it's going to get cleaner and clearer. In fact, I'm going to show you before and after samples of subscription paths here in just a moment, live online. So bear with me, because I'm going to take a lot of what I'm speaking to you about, make it very visual in just a few moments, okay? In addition, and I'm moving on, the average transaction price went up significantly. So not only did conversion go down, free memberships go up, but people were spending more they were buying a higher level of membership, or they were buying longer prepaid memberships, meaning, you know, annual and semi-annual as opposed to monthly. This was due primarily to the increased visibility given to the year-long membership offer, which is available at a significant discount but requires members to pay for the entire year when they sign up. But the real impact of our changes was measured over the entire month after changes were made. And the chart above does not take into account users who returned to the site and joined as paid members at a later date. But the below chart does. So in the chart I'm going to show you next, and Brian, you can go ahead and refresh that, put that in their notes if they don't have it already.
If everyone refreshes.
Pardon me? Okay, if you'll refresh your page, you'll see a new chart. And without getting into reading all the numbers that you can read for yourself, the point that you'll notice is that there was an increase of 14.74% to the bottom line. Now, it's very critical that you recognize that. That's, by the way, that's a fairly small statistical improvement. I can tell you that that site right now has quickly and continued to grow, and it's quite a bit larger than what you see here, and it's now the largest in its industry, to my knowledge. Is it the largest now? Is Jimmy on the phone? Jimmy Ellis?
Yes.
Are they
yes,
largest
he's
now, Jimmy?
He's about 2 weeks away from taking the number one competitor in his industry.
Good for him. He's about 2 weeks away.
It's game over after that.
And we've done a lot of these tests. In fact, we worked with one site that we have now selling 6,000 subscriptions per day. Now, per day. But that's a pretty major operation. Now, staying with me on this, the key thing you need to recognize in this chart is not only that it's a 14.74% improvement, but this is a 14.74% improvement without a 14.74% increase in the marketing budget, because this is making more money with the same people that you were already paying to get to your site. This goes straight to the bottom line and has a big impact on your, on the financial health of your subscription site. Now, we made many changes to our test site in addition to those mentioned in the microtest, but all of these changes served our goal of enhancing the subscription path to generate the most free and then paid signups. What were the changes we made, and what would we recommend as the ideal subscription path for a subscription site? After implementing and testing subscription paths on a number of sites, including our own, we've distilled our results down to a number of key guidelines. I have 15 key points in front of me, which I want to talk to you about. But before doing that, I'm going to take you to the PowerPoint presentation that we have uploaded. Hopefully it will display well in your browsers. It's looking fine in Internet Explorer. We uploaded it just a few minutes before this call, and it's actually a PowerPoint presentation that shows improvements to a site path. So I'd like you to click on the link in your research notes right now that will take you to that place, and we can look at an improved path. This is generic. It's done from real sites we've worked with, but we changed it enough so that you couldn't recognize what those sites were.
And you may have to refresh again to see that PowerPoint link.
Refresh your browser. Use a Control F5 to do a complete refresh if you're in Explorer. Then look at the PowerPoint link. There's a link. And we're going to start in this presentation, but I'm going to give you 30 seconds to catch up with me. By the way, a lot of this that we're talking about now here, we will also be discussing in Orlando in our conference in May. We'll have experts here that worked on these very sites that we just discussed, and on this site, and in fact, one of the speakers in May is the person who owns this, is a person who owns one of the sites that we created these results with, and is now doing quite well. All right, do we have the PowerPoint presentation in front of us?
Yes.
Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Am I? You think it's a good? I've waited long enough. Can I proceed forward?
I'm on a call, actually.
Pardon?
I'll do that.
Okay, we've got somebody else talking. They need to mute their. What's the mute, Brian?
One moment. Mute is *6.
You can always, if you have a call you need to take or an interruption, you can always mute with *6 and then hit it again, *6 to come back on. But are we all looking at the PowerPoint presentation?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'm going to move on then. I'm on page 1. Please try to stay with me on the pages if you can. We'll get through them together. But you're going to have a hard time following me if we don't kind of go together. I'm on page 1, and this first page details a philosophy, And it's kind of an interesting philosophy. It talks about reframing the choice. I'll come back to that later, but it changes the choice from, it reframes the question from an if factor to a which factor, and we'll discuss that when we get down through our 15 steps. Right now, I'm going to actually just show you this. And this is part of a larger five-part strategy to lower the sales-resistant guard of the customer, to ease the customer past the do I purchase choice and immediately into the which service do I want choice, to secure a reasonable but small time investment from the prospect before asking for their money, to serve the customer with the simplest, easiest, most flexible order process, and to capture contact information as early as possible in the conversion process. Now, I'm moving to page 4. Are we all on page 4?
Yeah.
I'm going to skip page 4. That's an overview of the elements. We'll move right to page 5. I'm showing you a common front page ad for a subscription site. I'm not telling you this is what we want. I'm using this as an example of a front page ad, and this is a before shot. Okay? Now, let's move on. Click the page to move to page 6. Now, I want to show you how different our ad is that we just laid out here. By the way, you can use your arrow buttons to proceed through this, not just your mouse. By clicking the arrow button that points to the left on your keyboard, you can go back. And clicking the arrow button to the right, you can go forward. I've went back. Look at the old one. Look at the new one. Look at 5. Look at 6. You'll notice that 6 doesn't even feel like an ad. It's not supposed to feel like an ad. It feels like you're serving the visitor to your site with useful information from which they can make a choice. But that looks like, though it looks like a form, that really is a direct link to your offer page. And along the page you're looking at, you should see a bunch of things that lay out for you our strategy. All right, so there's an alternate front page ad, and you can come back to this later. I'm just trying to help you get something visual here. Now, here's a landing page. From the ad, they go to a landing page. Here is an attractive landing page with an offer for someone to subscribe. That's based on real landing pages that we pulled off the net from a very, very successful site. But it's not what we would recommend. We're going to take you to one we might recommend. We have, in the next, I've now moved to page, page 8 of the PowerPoint presentation. On page 8, you should be able to see tech alerts, reviews and tests, price alert changes. Those are choices, text box. And when you click that, what you've done is you've chosen. Choose one or more of the following services. You're not afraid to choose because it says it's free for 14 days. But you still let them know that it's a paid service because it says it's for 14 days. You reduce the user's anxiety about the length and complexity of the process by using page 1 of 3 down at the bottom. You reframe the user's decision so they're not choosing if they want to sign up, but which service they want. And you capture their email address first so that if they abandon the process, you can remarket to them. I did this with a subscription site in a test and saved 4,000 abandoned subscription signups this way. Saved and captured, resold 4,000 that we had lost before we captured email addresses first. I'm moving to 9. There's 9 principles of an effective order process. And what you're looking at now is the order page. So if you can imagine, they clicked on the ad, they hit this landing page, now they came to a order page. And candidly, this order page we use to reduce 12 steps from somebody else's order page into one page gets it all. There's 9 principles there, which I will not read, but I want to suggest for you that the information that we're presenting to you right now is gold in terms of generating revenue. Now, please look at page 10, which breaks the order page down clear. It reminds the customer of what they are looking and what they're ordering for. That's very important, and assures them that it's free. See the 14-day tile in red underneath it? It has right next, in close proximity to the request for their personal information, a box. And that box is designed to remove the obstacles to sell. It emphasizes that this is easy and it's safe. It does it by expressing the benefits, by using testimonials, and by using third-party credibility indicators like the Trust VeriSign that you see or the Trust logo there. We also guide their iPath with three simple buttons, 1, 2, 3, or not buttons, but graphics. And then we minimize the customer anxiety about providing their credit card with a little statement that's very strategically designed. Move to page 11 and you'll see what's in the little left box. Recap of benefits. Notice no sales language, no adjectives that are exaggerating, no claims. Only specific information. All right. So help the customer feel safe, help the customer understand, incentivize them to continue, and avoid surprising them with any negative information. That's what provokes the abandoned cart. I'd like you to look at a process that we reduced from 16 steps to 3 to streamline the order. And I'm on page 12 now. You'll see the ad, you'll see the offer page, you'll see the order page. 1, 2, 3, bang. So, by reviewing this, you should start to get a feel for how you can improve the order process. Now, this goes further. On page 13, you will see precisely an email design to send to people who start the process and don't complete it. This email has already been tested. Very, very effective. It goes out to people who don't complete. This is their first email they get. Page 14 is their second follow-up email. Now, I want to just get some feedback before I move on. Is everyone following what I'm showing you right now?
Yep.
Is this helpful?
Yeah.
Okay. Now look at that's 14. Look at page 15 and we'll show you how we designed an email capture pop-up that changed conversion from 1.79% to 5.71%. Guys, that's what is that? A 300% improvement?
Yep.
Nearly 300% improvement on how many email addresses. If they were getting 1,000 a day, they got 3,000 a day when they went to this pop-up. You'll see page 15 is the frame for the email pop-up. It gives you the philosophy of the email pop-up. And then page 16 shows you the actual completed pop-up. So you'll see the prize related to the product. The description of the prize should be specific. The request for contact information should be phrased in such a way to encourage participation. It's every little tiny part of this is strategic. You notice that when it asks for your email address, it doesn't say ask your email. It tells us, tell us how to notify you. Well, if you just enter the prize for a contest, you want to be notified. So you automatically enter your email address. You notice that it actually says in the box, your name here. And as soon as they click in the box, that disappears. It makes it real clear. And you'll notice at the bottom is a true testimonial from somebody who actually won. Now, the please send me information on other helpful services is not nearly strong enough. It's generic because we don't have your offering. But I would say something like this, please send me information on products that are reduced by 35% or more. For instance, if you're a retailer, do you see how killer that is? That gives them a reason to it's worth it to check that box. Or you can pre-check the box. That's up to you and your email policies. But if you are asking them to check the box for other opportunities, then make sure that the line right there is strong. Now, this isn't a class on email pop-ups. We've already taught on that. But if you'll go to page 17, you'll see something really significant here. People don't get offended by our pop-ups because they're courteous, they're polite, they have no sales language, they're offering something that helps you. They're done on exit so they don't interfere with a sale, and you don't see them once after 30 days. If you don't know how to build a pop-up like this, we've already done a clinic on this. You can already listen to the clinic, get the notes. It even has the scripts to put this onto your site.
Is this a mock-up? I mean,
what's that?
The pop-up itself is missing a call to action like a submit button.
Yes. Yes.
That would normally be included in here, right?
That is correct. So this should kind of give you an idea. Now, the point of this is to combine the email pop-up. You get email addresses two ways in the subscription process. First, from them coming in and starting the process of the order. Secondly, from them entering to download a free white paper that really matters to them, a free report. The best thing is a short course or something they can win. You need two ways to capture their email addresses for a subscription site at least. Those two ways give you two different ways to remarket to the same people you've already spent money to get to your site. Really important in subscription paths because it's particularly hard to get subscription paths to make them profitable with pay-per-click traffic. We are doing a new feature report coming up later, a brief actually, on can you use pay-per-click advertising for selling subscriptions and how do you do it to maximize profitability? Because it's very difficult to make pay-per-click pay for most subscription sites. We're running a whole series of tests on that right now with probably the largest providers on the internet. So and small ones too as a combination. So the note on test design here has it just talks about how we design the test afterwards because we always test this clearly each step to make sure that it's working effectively. And you know, then page 19 talks about how we proceed from here. Now, you know, this is pretty confidential. It's not like we're sharing anybody's information, but this is really I've seen a lot of people make a lot of money with the things I'm showing you right now. All right, so I'm going to move back to my notes for the conference, and you can peruse this PowerPoint presentation as I'm discussing the 15 key steps that will help you to improve your site path. The 15 steps are used throughout this visual demonstration, but I've codified them. We've codified them and written them up for you, and I'm going to go over 15 of those right now. Number one, by offering both free and paid subscription options, you change the perceived question from if to which. Not if I subscribe, but to which level or to which service. Visitors are less likely to question whether to sign up or not. Instead, they decide whether a free or a paid membership, or whether a 1 month or a quarterly, or whether a quarterly or an annual membership interests them the most. Offering the free subscription sometimes can eliminate the if anxiety, but it has to be done delicately and just right. Finally, if you're interested in participating with us in this some of our research in this area, go to our site. Send us an email because we may bring in a couple more research partners to test this. All right, now, your subscription path actually begins with your landing page, which is the page in which visitors arrive to your site. This may be your home page in most instances, but you may also have any number of other landing pages. Check your web logs or metric solutions to determine which pages are the entry pages for your site. Content-based sites often have a number of landing pages because of the keyword-rich pages that contain articles or other content. These pages often achieve your highest search engine rankings for the site and will therefore be the first page that many of your new visitors will see. It's foolish to optimize your offering page or optimize your home page and not really pay much attention unto all the various channels through which search traffic is entering your site. Make sure those are fully optimized. And part of that is making sure, now listen, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's one of my points, but I'm going to say it now. Make sure your value proposition is quantified, not just that we do this, but with statistics or proof, and it's on every page of your site that someone could land who might be a potential subscriber. So optimizing your landing page is of key importance. Each page should provide an example of the kind of high-quality content your site offers, and statements of other benefits are also useful in some type of surrounding nav structure. One of the first things you want new users to see is what makes your site unique among all of its competitors. The reason I should buy, if I am the right customer, there should be a reason I should buy from you instead of anyone else, and that has to be clear. Imminently clear. Now with MEC, it's very clear. With us, you discover what works. We do this type of testing, and it's quite unique. You see that, you get the feel, and it doesn't take long for you to recognize that you want this, which is one of the reasons why our subscribers have grown so fast. Without referencing us and sounding in the slightest braggadocious, I don't mean it this way, but it's a great example is we entered a field where there was all kinds of competitors already. And in fact, the first company that reviewed us began there is Mark Brownlow. Some of you know Mark. He's well known across the net. Mark said, you know, at first glance, why would anybody want to start another marketing site or newsletter or journal? And he listed the reasons why it's foolish. And then he said, however, a new one has come into the market, which is just, you know, I don't use his words, but bottom line is somehow these guys have pulled it off. They've given you a reason to sign up amidst all of that. Now, here's how we did that. Now, and I'm speaking this to help you with your value proposition. How do you bring a value proposition to a crowded marketplace where there was already more than 4,000 journals, more than 460 ones that were heavily advertised related to marketing on the net? How in the world are journals/sites/e-zines, some of them rather primitive and some of them more sophisticated, how in the world do you launch another one successfully? We captured 100,000 subscribers our first year. The answer was we used the fact that there were so many out there as the basis for the value proposition. Our point was you're being bombarded with all of this stuff, all of this vague advice about do this and do that. But what we're going to do is just test it and tell you what we discover. And it's that simple. Now, we tried not to come across with any arrogance, because the reality is we don't always know what works. We mostly don't know what works. We just know how to ask questions, and we test. People sense that. Our value proposition was so simple, discover what works. Three words could summarize it. That's why it grew. Now, my point for you would be your value proposition has to be that strong, especially for a subscription site. Or don't do it. And if it is, don't make the mistake of thinking people are getting it with your logo and the slogan on your front page. It has to be integrated into the substructure of your site. All right, so moving on. Use your, by the way, would you mind if I used MEC as another example, because it's the best example I know of another thing that this, it's not enough to say you can discover what works. You need the evidence underneath it. And on our homepage, it says fast facts in the lab at MEC. On the homepage, it says 750,000 plus search terms tested, 1 million emails tested per month, 11,000 shopping baskets monitored per day, 3 million in products sold per month, 1,100 abandoned carts recovered per month. Do you see how it has that factual information that evidences our value proposition? And then underneath it, it has, remember I mentioned Mark Brownlow? It has a quote from Mark Brownlow, which we've used since that first time, even though we have now hundreds of quotes. It says, no other report I know of comes close in terms of providing real detailed facts and figures on promotional techniques, backed up, blah, blah. You know I'm not promoting our site. You guys are members. You know, I don't need to promote it. I'm just trying to find a good example, and that's one you all are familiar with. That is what you need to think of when you're doing a subscription site. And there's a lot more about this in the Orlando conference that we'll discuss when we're going to actually have a number of our top people who, on subscription revenue there, and we're going to show you samples of optimization, and we're going to reflect in real time changes to pages, and you'll be able to watch that change on screen live during the conference as the A-B split test results come rolling in. All right, so use, let's go on to number six. Make sure your transitions, implement a multi-page subscription process, but with a smooth transition from page to page. Don't have too many pages, and make sure that you don't jar them with the second or third page. An example that we found that we did when we were crafting a path before we had it perfected was the free sign-up was smooth, but when the free after they signed up, these people got hit with a path part of the page that we hadn't optimized yet. All the way through to the free registration, everything was great. But the very next page presented you with a paid offer, and it almost felt like you got ambushed. Like, wait a second, what's this? Now, we didn't do that on purpose. It's because we plugged in our improvement to an existing path, and then the step afterwards, we felt jarred, and we saw that instantly in the numbers within 24 hours. So we had to smooth the transition and show them why we were presenting them with that page and make it easy for them to accept or reject the next steps and make it fit in the process in a more logical flow.
Can I ask a quick question? I'm sorry.
Please, go ahead. Anybody can.
I'm slightly lost. Are we still in the PowerPoint presentation or are we back on the log?
We are back in the log. These notes are not in your log. I'm actually reading from my brief that you're going to be receiving via the mail. But I would still be looking at the PowerPoint presentation because everything I'm saying is in the PowerPoint presentation.
Great.
But what we've done is we've boiled it down to 15 major points.
Thank you very much.
Certainly. What company are you with?
Reuters.
Okay. All right, so number nine, incentivize users at each step. This is where we make a big mistake. Every time you ask the user for something, give them a good enough reason to comply. It's so foolish to ask a user to register. It's a bad word to use, number one. And number that register has a lot of negative connotations for users most of the time. And you know, these are general principles. You can violate any of them if you have the data to back it up. But generally, don't use the word register. And when you ask somebody for something, give them a strong enough reason, even if it's their email address or to click to the next page. You've got to incentivize them. That doesn't mean giving them something free, but making sure that what's coming in return for what they're giving you is worth it. Give them a reason to go to the next page. It's natural in the process. Let me tell you how I did it in this conference call with you. Okay? At the beginning of this conference call, I went over two data tables, and instinctively I could feel that I was talking to you. I was getting into a lot of science, and that if I wasn't careful, people who couldn't see what I was looking at would start to get foggy. So I said to you, now stay with us, because very soon I'm going to take you to a PowerPoint presentation and make all of this visual. Now, instinctively I did that because understanding the human nature of communication, I was concerned that some of you might start feeling like this was getting over your head and you were lost. You still may feel that way because I still may not be doing a good job, but that was basically an example of me incentivizing you to stay on the phone, stay in the process, till I could show you something that I kind of thought that if you saw it would make things a lot easier for you to understand. So you've got to do that also in your website and in your subscription path. Part of that same point, and I'm on point nine, at later steps, consider using a comparison chart that shows the superior benefits enjoyed by paid members. Avoid negative surprises. Subscribers should be encouraged at each successive step. And we kind of talked about that. Number 10, use testimonials and credibility indicators throughout your subscription path. Now, credibility indicator, in case you're new to that term, it's one we use. That means certification from a third party, approval from some governing board, sometimes the Better Business Bureau's approval, VeriSign, a trust seal, things of that nature. Sincere statements from your customers about the quality and value of your offering can greatly encourage new signups. Let me give you a caveat here that's not in the notes. Don't just throw a testimonial next to on your site. Do two things with testimonials. This will help you get much better results now. One, make sure that the testimonial you choose is placed very close in proximity to a decision step, or what we call a leverage point on the site. If I'm asking you to give me your credit card information, put a testimonial about how fast you got customer service. Choose the topic of the testimonial to match the location or the step that you're trying to fix. Think of it like this. Think of it again like this. A subscription path is a series of obstacles, because there's not really anything about a subscription path that makes somebody get excited except getting through to the other side where they can get what they want. Every page, every time you ask them for information, is an annoyance. So everything you ask for and every click you require is an obstacle to getting in through the path. Your job is to smooth the obstacles. Your job is to reduce the resistance. Speaking back to physics, which is a different topic that I love, it's about friction. Reduce the friction by smoothing the surfaces. So smooth the surface by making it easy. Smooth the surface by making it really clear. Smooth the surface by helping them see what to expect next. Smooth the surface by using a strategic testimonial placed at just the right point that helps them to overcome the internal fear that they're building up as they start to cooperate. What are the things they're afraid of? They're afraid of this taking too long. That's why we tell them it's 74 seconds. They're afraid of this, of you not delivering. That's why we use a testimonial at the right place talking about the value and the benefit. They're afraid of getting snarled up and not being able to cancel, which is why you need a testimonial about how easy and fast, you know, it was to work with customer service. Everybody following me? Everybody understanding? I take it by your silence that you're bored to tears. Or you're absorbing. I'll assume you're absorbing because it makes me feel better about myself, and I will continue.
I'm a rampant muter, so I'm always muted.
Say that. I couldn't hear you. Say it again.
Yes, and I'm a rampant muter. I'm always muted.
That's all right. That's all right. No problem. I figure that's the case, and you're doing fine.
Okay.
Thank you. Moving on. Stress your privacy and security measure at strategic points. That's step number 11, and it ties into what I just talked about. Number 12, use SMART button text. That is the text that the buttons that users click to submit your forms. Avoid using the term register, which implies your visitors are volunteering their personal information. Instead, use a phrase like create user ID, which implies that they are receiving the added value of special free access to your site. Get your copy now. Don't use sales language in your buttons. You know, get such and such. Click here to dramatically improve your marketing results. That sounds good, but what does dramatically mean? And how much improvement are you really talking about? Remember something. Your website is a person. People do not buy from websites. People buy from people. And all they're doing is envisioning a personality when they see your site, which is why if you have a sloppy site, they envision a sloppy person. It's like having a salesperson who's dressed wrong and isn't well-groomed. And then if you have a salesperson who's not only is well-groomed and dressed wrong, but he constantly brags about how smart he is and how fast he is and how great he is, you're likely not going to trust anything he says. So please think of your website as a person who's quiet, courteous, highly effective, and is there to help, and make sure that's what the subscription path feels like, and that is reflected in the language of your buttons. All right, so now, use number 13. Ideally, you will identify free subscribers that return to your site with the use of cookies. This will allow you to present them with a customized version of your site that encourages them to sign up as a full paid member. Now, all of you can't do that, but anybody that's got the technical know-how, use the cookies, recognize when somebody's coming back, because specificity of your offer is the most important key to a high conversion ratio. The more specific your offer is to them, the more robust your conversion ratio will be. All right, so moving on to number 14. Strategically crafted email messages constitute an important element in your sign-up process. New members, free and paid, should receive an email immediately upon signing up, and you should also use email to follow up with incomplete signups. We talked about that, and we actually have research on how to get incomplete registrations with samples in briefs on our site. You can find those in the left nav of our site or in the index, and there'll also be links to that in the briefing that we send to you via email. Number 15, capture email metrics at each stage of the sign-up process. Capture key metrics at each stage of the sign-up process. Follow these guidelines. Will give you a good start, but true optimization of the subscription process will come from repeated testing and tweaking. There is no such thing as the completely ready subscription path or ideal and done. There is simply getting it up to a sufficient level and refining each point continually until you finally reach diminishing returns. And then that means that the amount of time and money it takes to tweak it isn't worth the improvements you'll get. When you've reached that point, you move into monitor mode. And in that mode, that doesn't mean you stop. It means that you monitor, because if it's good today, it won't be good in 3 months or 6 months, because something will change either in your offer or in your audience, and at which point you'll notice, if you're following your metrics, that there's a change. You're suddenly getting less quarterly subscriptions. Why? You're suddenly getting more people dropping out of the free process. Why? You're suddenly getting, and when you find out those answers, you've got to refine the process even more. Plus, you'll find that as you get really good, you'll have a different subscription path for different marketing channels. Pay-per-click traffic might have a slightly different subscription path than people who come in off one of your partner sites, because pay-per-click traffic probably didn't come in looking for a subscription. Hear me on this. They probably came in looking for information, not for a subscription site. And you may have to first present them with information and do it in such a way that it leads to the offer for the subscription. And if you don't get that, you'll make a mistake. For instance, if you're going to sell a book on pay-per-click advertising, you're likely not going to do it by advertising the book. You're going to do it by advertising a solution to a problem, and when we get there, you offer the book as part of the solution. All right, I have more in my briefing, but that will come out to you by mail. They're about the order process. I think I've given you quite a bit to digest. I'm going to wrap this up in a few minutes. I have 9 steps on the better order process, which you'll get when you see this. You can also read about that in some of our subsequent reports. What I need to hear from you is any questions before I go. You've got me for 5 more minutes, and our team is on the line. Brian Ault is the guy that did the writing in connection with all of our research in this, and Jimmy Ellis was a huge contributor and has done a lot of testing and work with this, and there's other guys on here that can help you. Do you want to hit us with a question right now while you got us? I'm hearing silence. Are we muted? Let me ask you then a question. Please tell me what part of what we've offered you today has helped you the most. I'd like to get some feedback from somebody on that.
The list at the end.
The list, the 15 steps?
Yeah, that was gold.
Excellent. Excellent.
I would have liked to see that in the PowerPoint instead of what we had. But the PowerPoint was very good, too.
Yeah, the PowerPoint was developed for something else. The 15 steps you're going to get via email as part of the report. So you'll have both. But that's a good point. Listen, we are going to – rest of this you should expect – here's what we do when we're done with this. We have a briefing already written for you. But now what happens is we take the briefing, we listen to our own recording of this conversation. By the way, you'll get the recording of this conversation, too, that you can listen to. And we use it to go back over any questions, thoughts that were raised, points that we brought up that weren't in our notes, and to refine the briefing one more time. Then we put it into the hands of 3 or 4 related field experts that are on our team or that we work with to see if they have any more suggestions, and then we release it to you. So maybe 3 days or so you'll get it. Just depending on how fast we get through that little process. Also, our upcoming clinics. Brian, tell us what's coming up in our next reports and web clinics.
Okay.
While he's doing that, let me just point out that last week you should have got one on how to use small pay-per-click engines. We're not doing a briefing on that because we have already done 2 briefings. We're not doing a clinic on that because we've already done 2 clinics this month, but we sent you a third briefing, which was a detailed step-by-step process for using the small pay-per-click engines. You should find that very helpful, particularly with subscription pass, because sometimes your cost per click is much lower on these small pay-per-click engines. But now, what's coming up, Brian?
Okay, next week we have a brief on Google AdSense scheduled, and then in 2 weeks we have both a clinic and a brief on eBay and auction sites as a marketing tool. And then starting in May, we've got clinic and a brief on conducting online conferences to enhance your offering. And then a week after that, we've got a brief coming on different feeds like Yahoo store feeds and other comparison search engines.
Let me just stop you on that. How to use these? That clinic will make you a lot of money if you pay attention to that. How to design feeds so that you can automatically get yourself in multiple places at one time. Keep going real quick. Fine.
And then the following week, this is the end of May now, we've got a brief and a clinic on traditional search engines.
Okay, natural search, how to do that. And then in the last week of May, we're actually doing 6 sessions on optimizing your comparison search engine campaigns, optimizing your subscription path. We're going to actually have Craig Calder, who we sold thousands of subscriptions with. He's the former VP of the New York Times. He's going to be there talking. Part of the Orlando, how to optimize your Google and Overture campaigns, how to optimize your order process, optimize your landing pages, and optimize Yahoo stores, auction listings, Amazon shops, and the smaller marketplaces. That's what's coming, guys. Appreciate all your trust. And you can discuss this in the discussion forum if you want. Other than that, pretty soon we'll tie it all in together. Thank you. Take care. Bye.